So I'm going to make sure I write that down.
Yeah, wine is
a good thing.
Right. Not just an urban myth. You heard it from an expert.
Howdy. Welcome back to the Idea to Impact podcast. Today, we're talking to Virender Sharma from A&M School of Public Health. He discusses his work with ferrets 4, 5, and 6, which have commercial possibilities of helping with removal of toxins, bacteria, viruses, and toxic metals from air and water. He shares his journey of commercialization and his mission to make sure that his research has a positive impact on the world. Let's get started. Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Idea to Impact podcast, hosted by me, Beth Duermeyer, and my co-hosts,
Jack Manheyer.
We are with the Texas A&M Innovation Partners. Today on the Idea to Impact podcast, we have Dr. Virender Sharma joining us. Dr. Sharma is a professor in environmental and occupational health, and this will be a fun conversation because I feel like Jack and I are going to have, it's like a little miniature science lesson today.
That's right.
Dr. Sharma is going to tell us all about his research, and so we'll get started. Dr. Sharma, what is your earliest memory of being a chemist or an entrepreneur or an inventor?
Well, in terms of being chemist, I started very, very early on in my interest in chemistry from the high school because of my high school teacher. He was very nice and explained the concept. So I was hooked that time. So I continued with chemistry when I went to college, did my bachelor, and from Delhi, India, and also master also in chemistry. Then a chemistry related field, I did another called MTech degree from Indian Institute of Technology. And after that, I continued with chemistry, but I came to University of Miami to study the chemistry of the ocean. Then I took some extreme step for postdoc, went to Buffalo. Why do I say extreme step? Because it's too extreme for weather.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yep. I was going to say, I've just got back from Florida, and that's definitely different from Buffalo.
Miami and Buffalo, right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I will not talk about football there because of rivalry there too. So that time,
right.
That was late 80s.
Right, yeah. Right.
Well, Bills and Miami Dolphins. So
that's right.
Yeah. Well, you go from little Cuba to pretty much Canada.
Almost,
right?
Yeah. Almost Canada.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I saw Niagara Falls all season.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And but it was too cold for me. And I was always interested to work with one scientist in Brookhaven National Lab. And why I was interested because of this molecule called superoxide. Hmm. It's like an oxidant. Like in our body, we say antioxidants. So one of the oxidants that produce in our body, it is called superoxide.
Okay.
And that scientist was very interested in this molecule, or actually he did the earlier work in the carrier. And he was among the first three who gave him a spectra, how to characterize this radical. But I was always interested in these radicals because that word looks like important when I was doing my PhD.
Hmm.
So I was keep writing to him, and eventually that time he didn't have the funding. Finally, he got the funding from National Institute of Health. And then he advertised the position. So through the competition, maybe I wrote too many emails or letters to him.
Yeah, I was going to say emails back then.
I beat the competition.
So on the oxidants, and we had talked to formally to Dr. Thomas Kent about his new drug that would actually, it was a carbon-based drug that would take away some of these superoxidants that were happening after they removed a clot for a stroke. So what is it that makes up a super oxidant chemically? Does it have like extra electrons or what is it?
It's excellent question. Why I say excellent question, that was the initial interest when I reached Brookhaven National Lab, exactly what you just said.
Okay.
Because when strokes happens, there is a generation of hydrogen peroxide.
Right.
And because why it is hydrogen peroxide produced or some chemistry inside the body, because once we take oxygen, it where the oxygen goes, eventually it forms water. So the enzyme like hemoglobin we have, that's iron. And that is also taking the role here, transferring the electron. And they produce this water. So when I reached there, he said, this superoxide, if you have any question, please stop me and ask the question.
No, like keep going. Have. That's great.
Yeah. So I'll directly come back to you. So soon I'll come back to your question too. So when I reached there, he said, Virender, superoxide is kind of old subject now. I'm going forward with some other things. Other things were just exactly related to you just mentioned about oxidant. Because what iron does is react with hydrogen peroxide, produce called hydroxy radical. Is by name is radical means it reacts. Like people are radical, they just react with anyone.
Is that one of the, they call it like a free radical?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So free radicals, whoever come in contact, is going to react. If they don't react, nothing they find, they react themselves.
Gotcha. So
that's the way they destroy.
Things, right?
Yes.
Is that what you said? Okay.
Yeah. So he said, I'm interested in some reaction which produce this hydroxy radical. And in vivo, means in reality, in our body, I mentioned when stroke happen, this radical is bust. And some very simple chemistry developed to destroy this radical, or drug was developed, very simple chemistry. Like people take wine, right?
Right.
To keep looking young.
And did you say wine?
Wine, right, does it work?
People say that one glass of wine is good. There is a reason for that.
Hmm.
Because wine contains some kind of compounds, phenolic compounds, they love hydroxy radical.
Ah, and just eats them up?
That's the way hydroxy radical goes and just get attached with those one, react and get done.
So I'm going to make sure I write that down.
Yeah, wine is
a good thing.
Right. Not just an urban myth. You heard it from an expert.
I mean, okay, so last time we learned that if you study while you're intoxicated, you should take your test while intoxicated. Now we're being told that wine is good.
So I'm sensing a theme.
I love this.
I'm sensing a theme.
As long as it can destroy hydroxy radical,
right.
It can start destroying something more, then we are in trouble.
Right. Yeah.
So chemically, I'll step back. My 8-year-old is in second grade, and she's in kind of a co-op program for science, which means that we as the parents have to teach it. We each have to teach one of the classes. And my wife's teaching the science, and she put two paper plates together, a smaller one and a bigger one, and the bigger paper plate was the outer shell, I guess, she was doing water in this case, and she said, as long as there's 8 electrons on the outer shell, it's happy, but if there are fewer than 8, it's not happy, and it wants to go attached to something that will give it its full 8. Is that what you mean by them coming together? Is that what's happening? Is there an electron imbalance?
In this case, for hydroxy radical, I'll come back. It's the second time I'm saying I'll come back. But hydroxy radical is especially when you don't know the answer, you say, oh, I'm going to come back.
Oh, we're
going to
cover that later. Stay tuned.
First person will forget that time, right?
Right.
I'm using this technique as being a teacher.
That's right. Great question. We'll get to that later.
Very good question. Let me come back.
So people who are getting ready for their dissertation defenses, take note of this.
Right, right. Oh, we'll get to that later.
Standard committee ask you a question to see who come back to that.
So in this case, hydroxy radical is doesn't have electron,
okay.
Which you'd like to get, because as your daughter mentioned to you, this outer one, the outer one has more than 8, that is not stable either. Or less than 8 is not stable.
Gotcha.
So one thing is they can lose more than 8 and then back to 8, then it's stable.
Okay.
Or otherwise, they can lose all 8, become 0, that is also stable, depending on how many layers they are.
Gotcha.
That's where your daughter is trying to convey the message.
Okay.
In this case, hydroxy radical has so electron deficient kind, so it's ready to attack. And now, what I was talking about, wine has some phenolic groups, which has carbon ring. There are many carbon ring, it's called benzene, a type of molecules. And OH radical loves those ring, carbon ring. And back to that chemistry professor,
right.
He's also making some kind of carbon. So these radicals can go and goes to there.
Right. Okay. Actually, I understand Dr. Thomas Kent's stuff more now with the ring. So he said there was some stuff that was forming and the radicals were attracted to the carbon. So
yes.
See,
if you put some functional groups, because what he can do is carbon, and he's maybe putting some groups there, something there more than that. And those groups are very specific for this radical goes and attach with those or react with those ones.
Beth, I figure if we do this podcast for like 10 to 15 years, we'll be ready for an advanced degree in chemistry.
Yes.
We'll get it bit by bit. So. Yeah.
Chemistry, biology.
Right, 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 right. General sciences, right?
Yeah. So for example, now, if he tried to use his materials in the reality, okay?
Right.
Which he expect by doing experiment in the lab, and he will hope, based on the chemistry, the best knowledge, this will radical will be 100% gone.
Yes.
Right?
Right, right.
But
right.
In when I was studying in Brookhaven National Lab, in vivo, we were finding it's not 100% gone.
Huh.
Because there's a simple drug developed for heart attack. This contains the same carbon type of molecule. It's not that fancy. That drug,
gotcha.
It's a phenolic type carbon there, so it can attack. But then in reality, it is not taking 100% out. Something is there.
Gotcha.
Maybe there's something else is there we are thinking is only OH radical.
Right.
So you think something else is there and holding the stuff there that's not removing all the...
We didn't know that, we still don't know. So what is happened is how that is produced when stroke occurs, oxygen is already converted to hydrogen peroxide.
Right.
It's supposed to go to water.
Right.
But because of this, some chemistry change is sticking there, hydrogen peroxide is very excess.
Gotcha.
And because of this excess, hemoglobin is reacting, which contains iron 2.
Right, right.
Iron 2, they both react and produce hydroxy radical.
Right.
Is that like if I have a cut on my arm and I put hydrogen peroxide on it and it bubbles up? Is that a reaction?
Oh, yeah, that is, yeah, there is a reaction going on, oxygen.
Yeah, okay.
So oxygen, the bubbles there, iron is there, and eventually hydrogen peroxide will go to reacting, go to oxygen.
Gotcha.
So when I say hemoglobin contains iron, it contains electron transfer is happening is iron 2 and iron 3. What is the meaning of iron 2? Is the just mentioned very early on, iron atom also has 8 there, then it's stable, like iron rod.
Gotcha.
You take the 2 electron, becomes iron 2.
Gotcha.
If you take 3, then becomes 3. It's called iron 3.
Okay.
So here is RN2 reacting with hydrogen peroxide, giving hydroxy radical.
So you're saying in the lab, it's doing one thing, but then when you do it in vivo, like in reality, when you actually start doing it in humans, there's something else there that is changing the chemistry. It's behaving differently.
Yeah, something else is there that doesn't explain what we know from the lab.
And I can imagine as an inventor and as a scientist, that must be extremely frustrating because I think we understand from our podcast with Dr. Kent is that from going from doing it in the lab, doing it in humans, takes a long time. Like it takes years to get approvals, patents, things like that.
But you can still do the test tube, some experiment which represents the vivo, then it doesn't work. Simple chemistry mixing work with this wave, then you try to do in vitro kind of experiment that is telling it's not doing the job properly. People are taking that medicine, for example, this is a heart, then they still see the damage to the cell.
Okay.
Because this reactive oxygen species or what oxidant, they damage the cell, and that is called the aging.
Okay.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah. I'm not promoting the wine, but that's why people who take the one glass wine, they look younger.
Yeah.
Every night.
Now, can I do that with grape juice, or do I have to have...
To some extent.
Is it the alcohol, or is it the stuff in the grapes that's doing it? Is it the fermentation?
Basically, it's the stuff in the grapes.
Gotcha.
Alcohol also does good job for this, yes.
Okay.
Interesting story here. When I was saying RN2 react with hydrogen peroxide, it's producing this OH thing, radical. So then we came with the postulation, there's something else is there. And that something else is RN4 and RN5.
So 4 and 5 electrons are being taken, right?
Yes.
Gotcha, okay.
So everybody thought before it just taken one electron from RN2 to give RN3.
Okay.
So we came up with this, is taking more than that.
Wow, okay.
And this 4 and 5, as reactive or have similar reactivity like other radicals.
Okay. So what do you do with those 4 and 5?
So that was the postulation. Okay. So we need to study the chemistry. If we are saying is 4 and 5, are they really reactive?
Yeah.
As we are saying, so we need to develop some process to produce these ones, 4 and 5.
Okay.
And we were my mentor there, postdoc mentor, was successful. When I reached there, he already established how to generate, how to characterize. So I start studying very basic thing. If it's reactive, can it react with amino acids or proteins?
Mm-hmm.
And I did find that yes, is reactive. Also, these amino acids. So when I was completing my postdoc, I learned. I went to Miami to study ocean chemistry. Then for now I was studying human body inside.
Yeah.
So then I realized I'm a kind of environmental person.
Right.
But I learned chemistry 4 and 5, which is reactive inside the body.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, why not use this chemistry outside to destroy the pollutant?
Okay, and that's how you got to where you are.
That's the guy interested in this ferrets 4, 5, and 6.
Yep. Okay.
That's a great, great segue. So you get now into the technology, if you will, that you're working on currently on your path from idea to impact, and it's these ferrets, right?
Yes.
And can you tell us a little bit more about those? Again, my understanding so far is that you've got this molecule, say it's oxygen, and the oxygen molecule has this outer shell and it has these 8 electrons and it really likes it when it has 8 electrons. It's really happy when it's got the electrons. But you're talking about sometimes electrons are being pulled off from this molecule. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And is that the ferret?
As mentioned, also, as your daughter mentioned, it has 8 electrons outside.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
So if you take the two out, then become RN2. You take three out, three. If you take four, you become four. It's called ferret four now.
Ferret four, okay.
And if you take five, then it's become ferret five. If you take six, it's basically become ferret six. Now.
And ferret is iron and oxygen together, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Gotcha, okay. And so that's a compound at that point?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
And iron there and four oxygen there. So that's why it's called environmental friendly. Iron is kind of rust.
Right.
Molecule, iron oxide is rust. So this is a different kind of rust in that sense.
Right.
Maybe it's fancy rust.
Right.
Where you have taken more electron. But this rust is little angry because you have taken too many electrons.
And it's hungry. Much more.
Yes. It's hungry for electron.
Gotcha.
So then you can use this chemistry because hungry for electron, you can take this hungry molecule and put close to the pollutant. And it will try to grab those electrons from pollutant wherever it can get because it want to be stable situation.
Right.
And that time it destroy the pollutants. Same thing, you can bring this to virus and bacteria. It will do the same thing. Try to grab the electron from virus or bacteria and destroy.
And so by the virus or the bacteria or the pollutant losing the electrons, or is it combining with the compound in such a way that it then just disappears and falls away? Is that what's happening?
Because anything to get the electrons,
right,
it has to come in contact.
Right.
A person get even Nobel Prize to understand electron transfer. How
right.
that happens is different understanding or this thing.
Sure.
So your basic understanding is good. It has to come in contact.
Okay.
Or it has a critical distance. It has to come close before anything can happen.
Gotcha. And then the pollutant, the virus, the bacteria, whatever it is that the ferret is coming over to eat because it wants those extra electrons, that is then being destroyed in some way.
Because it is also losing something, right?
Right.
So once you start losing, that means it's destroying.
But why doesn't the pollutant then become like an RN2 or a ferret 2 or a ferret 3 or a ferret 4?
It becomes, in case of ferret 6,
okay,
it becomes RN3.
Okay.
That is the most stable form of different RN.
Okay.
And that is basically our rust is different kind of iron oxide. That is stable.
So is it changing the chemical composition of the virus, bacteria, or pollutant? And that's why it's not a pollutant anymore? It's becoming something else?
That's correct.
Okay, gotcha.
That's correct. For example, if you have a hydrogen sulfide, it go to sulfate ion, which is basically not toxic.
Gotcha. So it's changing the pollutant from its pollutant nature into something non-toxic simply by combining in that way, because and the ferret wants to go there because it's so hungry for those electrons, right?
Yes.
I got it.
Other simple example is if there is some carbon material there, benzene ring or something,
right?
Go there, ferret, and basically take the electron, make molecule unstable, and then it would go to carbon dioxide.
Does the ferret, will it attack anything for the electrons? So could it possibly turn something that is good into something that we don't want?
You mean after reacting with pollutants?
Yes.
No, I thought it might be four. Like
ferret six becomes RN3. That is fine.
Okay.
That is non-toxic. Everything is relative, but we know iron is a lot of iron in our soil, and everything is even some people have iron deficiency.
Okay.
So iron is fine. In terms of pollutant, we always need to determine after the reacting what is its form.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And so far, it is showing that it is producing much, much less toxic products, or in some cases, non-toxic products. Okay. But again, one has to watch this thing.
And we talked yesterday about the reason why ferret is better than other disinfectants or whatever is that it's not creating other toxic material that's going to make it worse.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Because I normally give the example, chlorine is, people use chlorine a lot as disinfectant. And chlorine is itself has some inherent properties, like it smells, people don't like it smells, and it is a gas, you have to be watched carefully. Mm. But and then when it's react, it's produced especially with the ring compounds, which has this kind of compound. It produces chlorinated products.
Gotcha.
Or is any, and for example, it some of the chlorine products is like DDT. I don't know if you heard DDT.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, right.
It is banned now. It's pesticides banned for many, many years ago in this country. But and so this can produce that kind of compounds.
Okay, so I'm in College Station and the water here, I gotta tell you, is not very good for drinking. But I think it's because they put so much chlorine in it. And the reason I think that is after I take a shower and my wife says, you smell like the swimming pool. And I just took a shower. And she goes, you smell like a swimming pool. So clearly there's a chlorine smell of some sort. I'm assuming it's because of the chlorine in the water, right?
Yeah.
And that's obviously not good. I mean, I don't want to take a bath in a swimming pool.
You're absolutely right. My wife has been complaining since I moved here in January 1st, 2014 about losing hair. Because it's true, Miss. I can see in our bathroom, that happened before I came here. I was in Florida compared to where the water was there. And here, she's losing hair.
Hmm.
And because There are reasons why they are using a lot of chlorine, because water is very salty here.
Right. Okay.
So, but you still need disinfection. Means you want to make sure no E. coli, no these kind of things. That's probably more dangerous than losing hair, for example. One should not lose hair, fairly for women. Is it a serious issue?
Well, I mean, it's one thing that I smell like a swimming pool, but you know, I can get over that. But if my wife especially is losing her hair over this is a little bit more serious now, right?
Yes.
And so what you're talking about as far as your ferret six, if you were to put that into the water to clean it, to make sure the pollutants were gone, we wouldn't have this side effect necessarily of the chlorine, correct?
Yes. The chlorine itself, when it reach, because what they do, we can minimize this problem of chlorine.
Okay.
In the present scenario, because as I mentioned, they need to add a lot of chlorine.
Right.
And then from the plant, it reach your house, you still need to have a chlorine, so pipe doesn't develop any kind of bacteria.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's why they add more. Mm-hmm. And since we are not sure, sometime nobody's doing automation, or sometime you really don't optimize the dose.
Gotcha.
So there is better to use overdose. So what ferret chlorine can do certain things in the treatment plant, which ferret can also do. And then, as I mentioned, toxic products, chlorine produced, ferret will not produce those toxic products as high level. We can minimize it. Mm-hmm. Even we have shown in the recent paper, because I said chlorine still need to be there in the pipe.
Right.
Before it reach.
Because the bacteria.
So chlorine will be there.
Right.
But before you do that, you can basically react with ferret. And that will minimize the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we have shown the recent paper even that those toxic products, and even we see less toxicity of the water once we have pre-treatment. We call it pre-treatment before you apply the chlorine as a disinfectant.
Mm-hmm.
And we have even find very recent paper, even you can reduce the level of lead in doing that.
Hmm. So your heavy metals as well.
Yeah, lead, you know, lead problem is from Flint water, which I'm talking about.
Right.
Because there's a lead pipes, lead oxide. But if you treat water with the ferrite, then you produce less soluble lead in the treated water. So it can solve the metals too problem.
So this sounds amazing. And, you know, so this kind of brings us to like the entrepreneurial side or the business side of things, because if we have this solution that can fix the water problem, say like in Flint, Michigan, or here in College Station, which by the way, I don't mind the water in College Station, but I grew up here, so I don't know any different.
How's your hair?
Yeah, my hair is good. I wasn't gonna say it was because I'm just getting old, but maybe it's water. No, I'm really concerned.
I know.
why aren't we using ferrite then in the water treatments? Why aren't we doing that here?
Yeah, yes, very good. So committee is very clear about it. Okay. And as I mentioned, we have ferrite 6. So we have 4, 5, and 6. Committee works such a way, out of those 4, 5, and 6 ferrite 6 is the most stable.
Gotcha.
Okay. But since it is, we have taken too many lacton, it is not stable. Unless you create some extreme conditions. Mm. And that is one of the reason that is not in the market yet. But so after publishing papers and everything, then I realized, I thought somebody else will synthesize for me, much smarter than me, people. And they will do it. They are better in business and everything. Somebody company will come and do it. But nobody was doing it, and I spent so many, now basically 3 decades, I should do something about it. Mm-hmm. So now I move towards how we can stabilize it in liquid form so people can start using it.
Yeah.
And that is the invention, and that is the patent with Texas A&M on this patent. That is exactly just the stability. We can form this stable liquid solution. Now people can use it.
And can I use it personally? You know, if I have the stable liquid form of ferrite 6 and I have my cut that I talked about with iodine peroxide, could I disinfect it with that solution?
Yes.
Wow.
Of course, you need approval. But that is the
beauty that small of the thing. Yeah, government approval. Oh yeah.
We need to get the hold of our pride, and maybe we'll get the fast approval.
Okay, but it does work that way, right? It's not just for water.
My other reason is I think Texas is sitting nice place in the history or in the nation, and they should do these things. Texas should take on this ferrite and run with it. Because this is will be then created like my vision is even ferrite and with Aggie, so not only Texas, it should have Aggie name there. Mm. So Aggies we are all proud of Aggie being Aggie. So I think back. So now we have a stable solution, which we can and now this ferrite solution stable can do many things, but do many things. You need to have some kind of business model, and that includes testing. Like right. Jack mentioned, we can put in the wounds, and it will stop the bleeding. That's the fact that can happen. Because what happened is 6, because it will try to grab those electrons and bring it back to 3.
Gotcha.
And 3 is basically kind of membrane. It form membrane on this wound and stop the bleeding.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the way it works. But it needs to be tested and get the approval.
What type of testing?
That takes money. That takes funding. You have to have funding to do that.
Yes. Either you have applied through the funding to the federal agencies, or some companies can invest the money and then do these things. One time we were, there are many things one can do with this molecule. And the other application, people like golf course, grass is getting bad and they lose property value for the golf. and you can spray this thing, destroy the disease. There's a disease, why this becoming brown, those golf course.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So you can, so instead of this water, you can just spray this one.
Okay, and it's not toxic, it's not gonna harm anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
So the world's your oyster with this stuff, because it has water purification applications, it has wound care and disinfectant applications, it has golf course rejuvenation applications.
Agriculture.
Yeah, how did you decide where you were going to go? Because I mean, one of the traps of an entrepreneur is to have too many options. You've got to narrow it down at a certain point. Was there any program that you attended, or is there something that you did to say, here's the direction we have to go in as a business?
Yeah, I think it's a very good question. I learned through the learning process. Hmm. One thing, what I learned, there are two ways I will answer, directly answer your question. It is a process for academic professor to go through these things here. I think business person immediately knows, or with the experience, these are the 10 things, are the one which one thing will make the money,
right?
And they run with it, and professor are just fascinating with what are the most interesting scientific things,
right?
Which may lose money,
right?
So one has to be careful or thinking wise. If professor wants to be business, that's great thing too, but it makes sure the professor knows what he's talking about, business, not only science there. So back to your specific things here, I realized my time, because in our treatment plants, this business works kind of, there are many hurdles, let's put, right. Because that involves socio-political issues. Then there are some consultants involved there. So there are many gatekeepers, basically. Mm-hmm. And then, the pain is not immediately there. We can talk about water, this and that, but chlorine smell and all those things, but it's not really big pain.
Right.
So which I learned. So I learned this, where ferret can solve some problem, which is really people are facing and in pain. So I can minimize those problems. And in that process, I give the NSF, iCorp, I propose to them, I want to use ferret as a disinfectant.
Okay.
And I propose I use in the hospitals. Okay. So they gave me $50,000 and money for postdoc, and then one industrial person. So with three persons, and say, go and don't sit in a lab.
Right.
And that is the condition of that iCorp. Go and talk with the real customer, you think you will sell it. And they help you. How to interview people, but you need to interview more than 100 people.
Hmm.
So in my experience, I went from the environmental science people, safety people in the hospitals, went to all the ways the owner or CEO of the hospital. We interviewed 113.
Wow.
In California, in Texas, and some cases Florida. So we interview many people. And what I learned, there is a need there. And nobody said there is no need, including nurses.
Mm.
Because disinfectant there they are using, they are not friendly. For example, Clorox, it works, but it's not friendly because it is caustic, it is not good for hand. And if something, which I also learned, if something is smelly, then people are not going to use properly.
That's correct, yeah.
And federal government spend, I think we spend $70 to $80 billion from to take care of the hospital acquired infection.
Wow.
And some insurance companies or some federal government, they're changing the rules or policy. No rules, it's policy. If person go to hospital and come back and it has infection, hospital is responsible. And they are going to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. That's
there I saw there is some opportunity. aspartate.
So is that where you are now? Are you trying to get this as a disinfectant into the healthcare system, into the hospital systems, and get them to adopt it?
Yes.
How's that going?
So we have recently licensed the technology. And because of COVID, first thing, the process was slow to license the technology. There's an A&M system, I don't know much about it, it was slow. And then now this company finally has, and now they need EPA approval.
Okay.
And to do the EPA approval, there are certain third party assessment. Because when I did, I tested this liquid for in the hospital, VA hospital in Veteran Affairs in Temple, Texas. I worked with the MD, and he's a chief of infection disease. And he worked with me in the lab, and we showed the results. And that was, and we showed that in 2 minutes, we can do the 6 log reduction.
Really?
Because why emphasizing 6 log reduction? That means if you have a million of bacteria, it should be zero.
Wow.
In health, it has to be zero because one is enough.
And that's 2 minutes. What's the what time are they dealing with now? I'm assuming a longer
time. 3 minutes.
Three minutes. Okay. So you cut it by a third.
We wanted to have some edge from the competitors, not only environmental friendly, but also we need to have something more to offer, equally or more to offer to stay in the market.
And there's no smell issue? You talked about it being offensive odors.
We didn't find any because we get a couple of nurses to smell and they didn't complain.
Wow.
I would not say there is zero smell. It depends, smell vary from person to person. But they did not complain.
Maybe you can get lemon scented ferret.
We even explore a little bit to put some scent there too.
Uh-huh.
We put even some detergent. Our composition has some detergent too. It's not only destroyed, clean too.
Right.
Because as other wives of a Clorox and those ones, they always leave some white stuff.
Right.
So this doesn't leave white stuff.
That's great.
So we have some advantages of this product. And we need to get the EPA approval. And before it can be, so I was very frustrated in COVID situation, and I think it will work. But same time, it's not approval, we cannot use it. Because I didn't want to do any crazy thing to apply somewhere without approval.
Right. Is it still slow, the approval process? Since, I mean, COVID is like 6 or 7 months out at the time we're recording this.
Yes.
We're about 6 or 7 months past its first lockdown indications. Are things lightening up with the government approvals, or are they still about
that
the same?
That's what I heard, but then I'm leaving this to the company.
Gotcha.
And because they are also hiring some EPA consultant.
Gotcha.
To speed up the process, but we need to have a third party validation.
Right.
That's the requirement from EPA. And that process is also slow because all the labs are not 100% working, and their priority is different now because they may have to test for humans or something rather than getting new disinfectant in the market. So that is slowing down the process. But I'm very hopeful because we have showed in our lab that is other thing I interested in to get the healthcare disinfectant, there are certain kind of testing need to be done. And this testing required, you put the disinfectant only there as a drop. And as a chemist, I always think mixing should be done.
Gotcha.
But test require you just put the drop and then wait. So we learned this, the process.
Gotcha.
So for eventually we were successful in testing this.